The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.
Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and this is another segment of Our Community. You know, we all process the world in different ways. The scientific method has been dominant since the end of the 19th century, but for a millennium before that, astrology was considered a scholarly tradition and was present in political circles as well as literature. My guest today is Joanne Reeves. Joanne has been an intuitive astrologer for many years, has read and analyzed thousands of people, and has been seen on shows such as The View, Dr. Phil, and John Edward. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Hi, Candace.
It's nice to have you here.
Nice to be had.
And and painless.
Theoretically.
Yeah, right. I've heard lots and lots about you, so I'm really, really interested in getting to know you a little bit.
Well, great.
So, I do want to talk about all the astrology stuff, but I'd like to get a sense of who you are. So kind of give me your life story
in five minutes. Prompt me with any question
okay.
We'll do, Candace.
So where were you born?
I was born in Fort Dix, New Jersey. 3 weeks later, I was put in the back of a Pontiac and driven out to Oklahoma, Pocasset, Oklahoma, where my father dumped my Irish mother and myself with his mother and went off to Korea. Saw him about 2 years later when he came back. That's how I started.
Oh, my word.
Yes. I think what my mother said was, while he was gone, I ruined ya. So that explains it.
Did you grow up in Oklahoma?
No, I did not. That was just for while he was in Korea. Then we moved to Missouri, New York, Germany, a little bit in Ireland where my mom's from, back. Then came back and wound up in Fort Hood, Texas.
Wow.
Then on to where I went to from age 11 on. I lived in Dallas, Texas. Went to school at North Texas State University. I think they've changed the name to the University of North Texas because it sounds more intelligent, but it's still the same school.
Was your dad... Did he continue to be in the military? Is that why you moved around like that?
We did. He retired in Dallas, went to work for Smith Detective Agency. He was on the grassy knoll. I'm absolutely sure he had something to do with it.
Your dad was on the grassy knoll? Are
he
you serious?
He was on the grassy knoll. He worked for Smith Detective Agency. Yeah, I've researched as much as I can about it. Of course, I'm making this up, but he did die 2 years later. It was a massive heart attack. I had nothing to do with the death.
That's pretty funny.
Propitious though it were.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this must be true confessions here at the top of it.
I love it. So how was Texas?
Texas, you know, you got to be from somewhere, Candace.
Yeah.
And all my exes live in Texas. My baby daddy lives in Texas. I got in a pickup truck with bad tires and drove out to California. Date with Destiny, had my daughter. And Texas it's a fine place because it was so beautiful in so many ways. I like good old boys. Mm-hmm. I like a lot about them, but I'm not terribly fond of some Southern mentality. Mm-hmm. And I said I'm not going back as long as Ted Cruz is senator, so.
Yes, there you go.
That's that.
Where in California did you end up?
Wound up in San Diego, which is where I met my good friend here.
Mm-hmm.
And lived there for, how many years did I live? I lived in San Diego for 17 years.
Wow.
Then moved to New York City for 8 years.
Okay, that's just weird.
I know it is.
To go from San Diego to New York City?
Well, my background is theater. Okay. So I've worked in kind of dual careers or numbers of careers. I worked everything. And I had reached, I know what it was. I was doing a gig at the Improv in San Diego. the opening comedy act. It was a sketch comedy act, which is also part of my background. And the headliner was Daryl Hammond. And we became friends. And I think it started with he was going to Los Angeles, right? And he goes, I go, well, that's great. He goes, yeah, I just don't know how I'm going to get there. I go, well, maybe you take a plane or you drive a car.
He goes, you almost could walk.
Yeah. And he goes, drive a car. Okay. I don't got a car. I go, well, I'd drive you, but my Hyundai is not running really well right now. And he goes, I go, you could rent a car. He goes, yeah, yeah. I go, do you want me to rent a car for you? Help you rent a car? He goes, would you? I go, yeah. And so with that little bit of something as a buddy, got him rented the car, kept in touch, got a little part-time gig with him in New York. So I took myself and my daughter, who was about to start high school, and moved to New York City.
Wow.
With a part-time gig.
Wow.
But, you know, how that got me to I was always working in astrology.
Before we jump into that, I'd like just, because I lived in San Diego for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So you were you doing theater in San Diego?
I did. I was one of the founding members of the San Diego Repertory Theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When they actually opened the Lyceum Theater, they hired 10 actors. And for 3 unheard of years, we were paid a living wage.
Oh.
That's unheard of
in theater. It is completely unheard of.
And also managed to get massive amounts of training from some really masterful people in dance, movement, whatever. I was in my 30s. I always got cast as the old bag or the mother. even then, I was actually, Lizzie, I was 35 and I was playing Mary Tyrone in Long Day's Journey Into
That's
Night.
That's great.
No, it's not great.
Oh, come on.
It wasn't great. Mary Tyrone was a drug-addled late 50s or 60s, like what I am now.
But fun.
You know, it's a drama. Actually, no, it is. It's not fun, Candace, for me. My deal is comedy. As you can tell, I like to get a laugh out of any audience. Even when I counsel, it's always best. So humor was always my thing. I became a director. After I lived in New York City, I moved to the desert and started La Quinta Playhouse, which I ran for 5 years.
Where in the desert?
La Quinta. Palm Springs, okay. Indian Wells, La Quinta.
Okay.
With the Philistines out there in the desert. Yes.
The Philistines.
It was, absolutely.
Really, huh?
Oh, well, yes. Yes, because it's got no, there were, I mean, we had supporters here and there. I did a great children's education program, but you always had those people who, I didn't do Neil Simon. Mm-hmm. I did plays.
Right.
Comedy for the most part.
Right.
But no, we did well. We did well, but you have to deal with boards and people and fundraising.
People
all
and
that stuff.
People and people.
It's brutal. Yeah. It's brutal.
So how did you get involved with astrology?
35 years ago, I was doing a play in San Diego, and the woman who lived across the street from me, lovely Jean Serafi, had a friend who was an astrologer, and she loved to trade readings for different things. So she asked if I'd like to have a reading for theater tickets. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right. Of course. Great deal. So she did my chart, and we became friendly and friends. And then little by little, I've always been fascinated by, I analyze everything, which wound up being true to my chart also. I am an empath, but I also analyze everything. So I just started following this amazing scientific art in its way, call it what you will. And little by little, because I can't do math, I cheated my way through algebra and geometry in high school, if that's possible.
No, it is because I did the same with geometry. I know.
I did. Oh, geometry. I did string art and cried. Please, I gotta get out of high school.
Awful.
Terrible, terrible. Yeah. But so I thought astrology was going to be daunting. When I started, of course, they didn't even have the programs. Well, actually, right when I started, they started doing computer programs with it, or you could do DOS. It was actually this ancient old machine we'd punch in the statistics to. But had it been prior to that, I could never have been an astrologer on my own because I cannot do math. I did not get past multiplication. I can't even divide. It's the truth.
Okay, sad, but
we all have different. We all have different talents.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
give me a calculator.
Anywho, we remained friends. I continued to do theater, but I started looking up everyone, running charts on everyone. So with that, the way you build anything, language, anything, I started adding on to what I knew about astrology. And then I would also add on to it about what I observed with anybody I met, counseled, or even observed on TV or around. Mm-hmm. So I started building all the stuff that just so correlated with everything I studied that eventually I got to a point where the person who taught me to begin with said, it's an interesting thing that she said, because I didn't think of it that way. She said, she says, it's now time to charge people for what you do. I said, that's not going to be easy. She goes, well, you do because it places a value on what you do.
Right.
So I started out at, very, very minimal and would talk to anybody, whatever, but started out at doing small readings and turned out that I was good at it. And then what really set it off, because my stint as being paid full time as an actor, that was over, working whatever. So those were the days, and I'm going to go ahead and admit to you right now, Candace. Yes, Candace, I was a psychic friend. Yes.
I love that.
Oh, no, that's where I got my real training. That's called the school. I get people call me up, and it was like it's like the studies of everything. I never knew what other people who did what I did, how they did it.
Right.
So I've always been very sincere. Any yo that calls me up, talks to me, I'm going to do the best I can on what it was. And the characters that came across, that I talked to, that's an entire show in itself.
Well, I definitely want to hear, a few of those stories. I do.
Do we dare, Laura?
That face says it all. But what is astrology?
Astrology.
Yeah.
Well, astrology is three-point geometry in a way. When you were born, and it's based on the individual, when you were born, you calculate the date you were born, the time you were born, and the place you were born. And that all sets it within a wheel, which is the outer parts of our universe, which is the constellations, Leo, da-da-da-da-da. And they've talked about the progressions of the planets. Some modern-day astrologers go, it doesn't relate because universes continue to move on. But in what I've seen, it absolutely relates most fundamentally. So astrology is a very complex art, but it starts at a basic. You were born, I know, Candace, a Taurus. So that's going to tell me something about you, no matter what.
Right.
And there's all different kinds of Tauruses, but it's going to tell me that you are a fixed sign. Signs are either fixed, meaning they don't like to change, mutable, meaning they change for the sake of change.
Wow.
And cardinal, which means they change in cycles.
Oh.
2.5 years, okay. 5 years, 7 years. And I have witnessed this. That's a basic. Then you have an astrology. Well, those are kind of the two things that work together. Mm-hmm. It's called modality. Modality. Mm-hmm. Fixed, cardinal, mutable. And elements. Fire, air, earth, and water. And isn't that, everything, it's always been that way. It's always been divided into, there's one, there's two. What are you, male, female?
Right.
Is it male? Is it a male sign?
Right.
That's fire and air.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a female sign? Earth and water. Then we divide that again.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way an embryo and everything, it's very organic. It's not, for me, the way it worked is I just kept observing everybody. And you would see traits over and over again. Astrology winds up being very complex because you're going to have a sun sign, essential self. An ascendant or rising sign, which is determined by the time of day you were born, tends to be what we project to the world, whether we want to or not. It's the sign on the eastern horizon when we take our first breath of life. The moon, which is how we tend to channel things emotionally, work out things emotionally. I say we tend to grow into our moons, but the moon changes every 2.5 days. as you know, it goes through all the signs in 28, 29 days, like a woman's cycle. Mm-hmm. It rules things that are female in our lives, our home, our children, the rest of it. So, so even though you're born a Taurus on a certain date, somebody else is going to have a different moon than you. So we start getting into differences, but I don't get into differences. I just look at the whole picture. Now that I know as much as I know about it, you're going to find out what a person is essentially like, how they project, how they channel, how they work through things emotionally. Then we're going to get to some other planets, Mercury. How do you communicate? Do you communicate like you essentially are? Say you're a Taurus, but you got a Mercury and Gemini, different way than you essentially are. Venus. I ask you the question, Candace,
yes.
Do you choose to love or do you choose to be loved? Which is it? To love or to be loved?
To love.
Well, then you have a male Venus, and that has nothing to do with your plumbing.
That's fascinating.
It always is.
Yeah.
And pretty much invariably, people know. Like, I'm a Venus in Aries. I could not be chosen. Can't choose me. No, you're the cutest dish in the bowl. Got it going on, working hard and everything, but I did not choose you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And varying degrees. So that's Venus. Mars will rule our physical energy, like how we express ourselves. Are we fast or slow? You know, you'll see, you know, that. And then the outer planets, then Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto also have descriptions in our charts, but they're called outer planets because the first ones through Mars are more descriptive of the individual. Well, then it gets really wild and hairy because you contrast and compare all these planets with each other. So you were, say, for example, my fortunate daughter. In one aspect of her life, she was born Venus trine Mars in Earth signs, Capricorn and Virgo, which meant she was going to be chosen. As a girl, that's easier, really, isn't it, Candace?
Oh my God, yes.
instead of my usual routine,
yeah.
Have them washed and brought to my tent, please. Oh, she's laughing. She's reacting. Yes, yes. So in that instance, because of it's an so we're going to get into something called aspects. So you got all these planets, right? And you look at the relationship to them. A trine is 90 degrees between any two planets, and it tends to make for ease. I watch it all the time in people. Hmm. My daughter was like love bug. They just loved her. Hmm. Naturally drawn, did well, all that things. Of course, everybody's got their baggage to carry. But there are certain things where you'll just see. I look at people, and all the time you'll see the markings of sometimes good fortune. What's interesting with people also sometimes, you find that people have really rough charts, and yet that's what it took for them to overcome and come to greatness. If they'd never gone through the things they'd done, they never would have got to what they're doing. So to me—
It's all very fascinating. It really is.
Ultimately, I think astrology is marvelous because it's a tool. And it's a timing tool. With my clients and in talking to people, they want to do something, right? Or don't want to do something. They're just looking at advice generally. And you can look it up and you go, wouldn't be prudent, or whatever it might be. Or now's the time, put your ship in the water and set sail because it can't go wrong.
Has to do with the position of...
You were born with your natal chart. Mm-hmm. Now, what I do is called... prognostic astrology. I look at your natal chart, and then I look at where the planets are today. I got a book. It's an ephemeris.
Mm-hmm.
I got an ephemeris for all the days of last century and this century. So that's going to, if nothing else, I can look up somebody while I'm sitting on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at where the planets are today, and I go, oh, honey, you got Mars square Uranus. Now, don't hurt nobody, and don't let nobody hurt you.
Interesting.
Stay away from sharp instruments.
Okay.
I've made the mistakes myself. I've discovered it. Mars square Uranus. No. Medical astrology. Okay. When the moon's in Aries, right? It's going to go through all the signs in a month. When the moon's in Aries, don't go to the dentist. Aries rules the head, and thereby the mouth also. I've tested it out, had my mouth blow up. It's not all the time, but if you add other things into it, I'm not saying this is always the case, but I do statistical analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like going, I'm looking at all these people. What happened in these years? And when I talk to people, you go back, you're going back through the years. Oh, this happened then. You can look it up. Oh, there it is. So long story short, you put all that stuff together and I distill it. Mm-hmm. And then I add on, I think, that little wacky extra of being intuitive, like when I used to do John Edwards' show, and I did it with my daughter. So I was kind of, I don't think, it wasn't about impressing or anything, but you got, I always call it, sometimes I call it the Vegas portion of my act. I go, we're going to start out, I'm going to tell you something about yourself, so you're not going to give me grief about anything else I say. And it might be the strangest thing. What's with you and cornbread? Oh my God, I just made it. Tons of cornbread for the PTA tomorrow.
Wow.
Or whatever it might be along those lines.
Funny.
Yeah. So you ask, sometimes I think that's my own personal entertainment. I just find it fascinating to just pull something out of the ethers and have it be the case. Not that I care that it's the case. It just makes life interesting and mysterious.
Yes.
Isn't it true?
Yes.
That you just don't know everything. But sometimes you know some things. May I also say, Miss Candace, that my clients are 96% women, needless to say. Why is that? Why do we suppose that is?
Tell me.
Why. No, you tell me, Candace.
Because I think we're more open to possibilities.
Bingo, 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 bingo. Or, yeah, it's something about the logic versus intuition.
Right.
And I think there's a great deal of logic to it in a way, but you cannot, it's nothing. It's so interesting. It's not like if I do this experiment with these minerals, it will most assuredly explode.
Right.
You can't prove it in that point.
Right.
So it's not faith, but I do believe it is observation.
Well, when I was looking online to find out a little bit about astrology, because I have thought it was perfectly wonderful for years and years and years. But I was looking back and it said that, you know, back in the centuries before Christ, there and it was like,
I always figured it was Ungo and Bongo out there on the hill, and they're sitting out there and they're looking at the sky, and Ungo says to Bongo, "Ah, I'll go when Red Star come up, wife, she mean." Oh, yeah. And so he comes back and goes, "Oh, look, Red Star back again. Watch out for wife, Bungo." I know that's how it started.
It's gone forever. I mean,
but isn't that the way?
Yeah.
That's why it's compiled all this thing. Yes, it's gone on forever from the earliest. I mean, all the royalty used their astrologers in courts. It was that John Dee was Queen Elizabeth's astrologer, numbers of them all along the lines. And then you got to the Catholics said, forget that.
Yes, off with your head.
off with that. Copernicus was a big fan of astrology. Any number of astronomers enjoyed it too. Then we got into, I don't know what happened, but it's
scientific method is what happened.
Because you can't do it like it's
you can't run experiments. Equation. You know, right, you can't do that.
Exactly.
We're going to take just a tiny break here. Just let our listeners know that you are listening to Our Community. And my guest today is Joanne Reeves, and I'm Candace Michelle. So, Joanne, we're talking about astrology and the fascinating world thereof. So we were talking about how the fact is that people have used it for millennia. I mean, it's just gone on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
But I also vaguely remember Nancy Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When President...
Her astrologer was Joan Quigley. Joan Quigley was a San Francisco blue blood, grew up rich in San Francisco, and took an interest in astrology. She didn't need to do it. It was her passion. Merv Griffin introduced Joan Quigley to Nancy. This was the California days, you know.
Yeah.
And Merv was in all that stuff and had Joan Quigley on the show, introduced her to Nancy. Nancy, what a liar. She dissed she dissed Quigley so bad, and Joan Quigley was there through until they canned her throughout. Joan Quigley's autobiography is called "What Does Joan Say?" And that's what Ronnie always used to say when there was any kind of question. Oh, what does Joan say?
Interesting.
And so when he was doing the, what was the deal with Gorbachev? What was that deal called? That deal. Not perestroika. It wasn't perestroika.
I have no idea. Okay, that's history.
Anywho.
If it happened yesterday, I don't really remember.
I do, but I can't remember the exact name of it. Anywho, when he was going to do the dealio in Russia, Joan Quigley said, you got to wait. You got to delay it 3 days, no matter what. He sat his plane on the tarmac. He did whatever. He ran his shop based on Joan Quigley's timing for the first 2 years of his administration. It was, which one of those guys? It was Mike Devers? I forget which one of it was. Anyway, it was one of the assistants in there blew the cover on it. So then the news got into it. And of course, they had to wimp out and say, I know nothing about this. Joan Quigley wasn't having it. I mean, she didn't go on a deal, but she said, look, I'm the astrologer. I told him all these things. It's been going on. And then I highly recommend the book. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon or something. What Does Joan Say? And so there was an astrologer in the White House.
That's amazing.
It was.
It's amazing.
Yes. And Devers. That was the guy.
And yet it really feels, and it's probably because I am comfortable with it, but it feels right, you know, that everything.
Now, that's an interesting way to put it. Feels.
Yeah.
Well, that's the receptive nature of, well, you're a Taurus to begin with.
Right.
Tauruses know all about, you know, logical things. Things grow. Things are sold. What you have. What's real. And if you witness certain patterns. And that's why astrology hasn't died out completely, because there's things that even just reading your basic newspaper or just reading a little bit about sun signs, somebody's going to fit. A lot of things will fit with the person. It's a marvelous art. That's all I know about it.
Well, people plant according to,
yes,
you know, plant their crops. And, well,
what the Farmer's Almanac was based on. Mm-hmm. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, which I used to get at the Emmy Moses, you know, when I'm growing up or whatever. You can't get it right off the shelves like you used to, which is the best planting days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the best planting days is when the moon is in a water sign.
Hmm.
That's when they tell you the farmers, and it's all predicated on astrology.
Right.
Plant when the moon's in water. If you're going to, you know, carve away at limbs and root out stuff, do it when the moon's in Capricorn.
Interesting.
Yeah. No. That
really interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I don't get too rigid on that, but if I'm going to plant something, I wait till a water moon to plant it. So.
Or if you're going to begin a project.
If you're going to begin a project, there's certain things you look at. For example, one thing is, I'm sure you may have heard about Mercury retrograde.
Oh, honey.
Yes. Everyone knows about Mercury retrograde.
Especially for the last 2 years.
Well, especially in this business, too, because Mercury rules anything to do with communication.
Right.
So essentially 3 times a year, Mercury seems to go retrograde or backwards. It does not. It's just the relationship of the planets, which makes it seem to swing backwards.
Right.
However, they even wrote about this one in the Wall Street Journal numbers of years ago. Don't make deals during Mercury retrograde. Don't buy contracts. Don't buy the car. Don't do everything. And it's funny because it sticks. I have a friend who knows very little about it, but he always says, when's Mercury retrograde? And then he posts it and makes a big deal out about it because he loves
it. I do the same thing, Joanne.
Well, you know what? I would. Well, you asked about business. I would not open a new. Well, there's one people who can do things Mercury retrograde, and those are the people who were born Mercury retrograde.
Okay.
They can make moves that other people can't.
And right.
But if Mercury's retrograde, don't start your new business. Just wait. You know,
I'll tell you what I have found from Mercury retrograde, and it is one of my least favorite times in the entire world when that happens. And it feels to me like Mercury went retrograde in 2018 about a million times. But
That sounds like something else.
OMG is all I can say. But what I noticed about Mercury retrograde is that it's a bad time to do email, to get into
communication.
Yes, any communication, especially if you're not face-to-face, although face-to-face didn't work either, so.
You know what? It can all go wrong. It could go
really, yeah, really catastrophically wrong.
And the suggestion is that you not begin new efforts and things that you haven't cleaned up, like your drawers, you take care of.
Right.
This, that, or the other. And if you can help it, don't open the new store, Mercury retrograde. It's a simple thing and it's easy to look at.
And it's amazing that I noticed how people either misunderstood what I was saying or I couldn't communicate clearly.
That's the thing. I think mostly with astrology, they think it's a foreign language because you use language that is not normally used. Trines, squares, different things, modalities. However, I think I have kind of distilled it down to human talk. It turns out I never knew about, remember I told you I started out as a psychic friend. Then I got a gig at about 2 years into that in what was like a room where there were numbers of us, right? It was a different thing. And I went and sat in there and did it for about 1 week. And I discovered that not everyone was that gifted at it, but they were still talking.
Right.
And it's a lot of mumbo jumbo. And I can't stand mumbo jumbo. Either tell someone something useful, something they can cogitate, think about, or just skip it.
Right.
And I got no problem with astrology because I can always tell somebody something. Look, the time is now, the time is not now. Ask me about anybody who, you know, whatever's going on. We can come, everybody has certain interests in areas. So we're going to find out things and we'll figure out your timing. But don't say things like, what did I hear? I mean, I heard some crazy stuff. But, you know, the moon wafts through your third house door and lands upon the site. I'm being mean, but I'm being mean, but I don't like it.
Is it useful?
I'm a moon in Virgo. Yeah. I must say, just disclaimer. Mm-hmm.
And what does moon in Virgo mean?
Well, I told you moon is how we channel things emotionally. Virgo is analysis.
Okay.
Virgos can either worry or they can analyze. Mm-hmm. I can do both simultaneously.
That would be fun to see.
terrible, terrible. But I analyze everything.
Right.
I'm just always like, I statistically everything. I see somebody, I look them up. So I've got like, that's my comfort. Seeing repeated patterns be real. Mm-hmm. The sun will come up, the sun will set. I know this about this person to be the truth because I've observed it now for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm like sure of everything or know everything. That's for sure the case. I do not. But there's some things that you just recognize about people. You don't have to know everything. Like I'm very cautious.
It's a pattern, right?
I'm a very cautious person. Uh-huh. I don't want anybody sneaking up on me and doing something. I put a dating thing in New York once and I said, tell me, and on the phone, all I said was, tell me your likes and dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
So Tony LoBianca, trailer driver in the tri-state area, called me up and he said, likes? No, he goes, likes? I like flowers. Dislikes? I don't like mean people. Well, I understood that. And Tony did not want to meet me because I was definitely going to be mean to him. Just with that voice alone. Sorry, Tony. No kid. So,
yeah.
So, but that's... I don't know where I was going with that, Candace. Forgive me, but
it's okay.
Just started off and there it went. Yeah, there it went. But yeah, I don't like mean people. That's it. I don't like mean people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm naturally cautious. I'm a Cancer rising, a little crab. I'm a Pisces, sensitive soul. So
you've got lots of water.
I got lots of water, but I also have prominent fire. My midheaven is 15 Aries and my Mars is 15 Aries. So I'm sort of the generalissimo of, I'm pushy. I'll admit it. I'll just go ahead and say it.
Nothing wrong with that. Listen, we got to have all colors of the rainbow. That's the way it is.
If I think the push is going to do anything.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm a little crab in a shell and mm-hmm. you can't get in. That's the thing with cancers. There's a sign right there. Cancers won't deal with you unless they can trust you. And the only way you can get to a crab shell is to break it. And if you break it, it's over. They're dead meat, as it were.
Yep.
And so it's always with cancers, it's security issues. So,
and my daughter's a cancer.
Well, they're crabby.
Yes.
That word fits. They're judgmental. Now, yes. Judgmental can mean you have good judgment or you're just judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
It can go either way. Their symbol is the dragonfly. The rule.
Interesting.
Yeah, so get her some dragonflies.
I will.
Marshy ponds is what mm-hmm. they rule. There's three kinds of water. Pisces is the running water. Cancer is the mossy pond where things are going to grow. Scorpio is the iceberg, and you only mm-hmm. see the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is going on underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, those are descriptions. Okay, let's talk about Taurus. I saw this on a wall once. It's the Taurus motto. Though the wind may howl, the mountain cannot bow down to it.
Oh, I love that.
Though the wind may howl, the mountain cannot bow down to it. Which just is, you know, it's there. Yes. It's like looking at all these trees as I was driving in here.
Mm-hmm.
My other favorite Taurus quote, I heard a Taurus say one time, "It's mine, mine, mine."
That's the funny quote.
It's mine, mine, mine. there's the quote.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be bad. It's just solid. What is yours is yours. What is yours is treasured. Oftentimes, they either have or don't have. Well, actually, the phrase for Taurus is "I have." Let me run through them. Aries, "I am." Taurus, "I have." Gemini, is that the next one? Yes. "I lie." No kidding.
Really? No. I lie?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But Gemini.
Yeah, let's talk some smack about Geminis.
Well, they do have. They're twins.
Yeah.
That's a sign.
Yes. And if you don't mind, I won't dip greatly into politics, but you tell me what these Geminis have in common. Trump, Bill Barr, Mike Pence. Let's see. Who's the other one up there? I mean, down the road. Notice any kind of parallels up in that?
Yeah.
Yes. It's called, I will say, well, now let me say this, because I don't want to talk smack about Geminis. Gemini, my son-in-law's a Gemini. So bright, so smart, marvelous communicator. Geminis believe there are, but higher and lower forms of everything. That's mm-hmm. what I like to describe it.
Right.
So the higher form of Gemini is that you are an excellent communicator. You might work with your hands. It rules the hands.
Mm-hmm.
You have a facile use of language,
mm-hmm.
often good writers and everything else. Lower form of Gemini, they believe their own lies at the moment of utterance.
Hmm.
Fascinating. That's
it
why.
It is fascinating.
It is to me, because I'm like, when I lie, it's like, whoa.
Oh, right?
Heebie-jeebie, right? Heebie-jeebie.
Yeah, and it's all over my face.
Well,
I mean,
I'm pretty good.
It's all over my face. Yeah. Now, my face gives it away immediately.
Yeah, you would not. No,
I don't lie well.
Well, you don't actually bother to. You pretty much just blast whoever you're going to blast, right?
Exactly.
So
this is me.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's higher forms and lower forms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, and of course we exist sometimes, you know, a spectrum. Sometimes we exist in the middle there on how it goes.
So what would you say about Gemini? What is the phrase for Gemini? It's not really "I lie."
No, it's "I communicate."
Okay. And what about Cancer?
Cancer is "I feel."
Yes, of course. Leo?
Leo is "I will."
Oh, yes, of course. Both of my parents were Leos.
"I will."
Yes. OMG.
Uh-huh. Virgo. I analyze or I worry, but I analyze.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Libra.
I balance.
Ah, that's one of my sisters mm-hmm. is a Libra.
I balance and I never talk smack out in public.
Mm-hmm.
I just wait until I get in the car and then mm-hmm. I let you have
there
it.
There you go. Scorpio.
Scorpio is what? I know. I desire, therefore I create.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the full phrase. I desire.
Yep. Scorpio after Scorpio
Sagittarius.
Is Sagittarius.
I perceive. Okay. I perceive.
And then Capricorn.
I use or I am useful. Yes. I use or I am useful. Yes.
Aquarius.
Aquarius is I understand.
Nice. And Pisces.
The dustbin. I believe.
Really?
I believe is Pisces.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which might also be, you also have to put the polar opposite. I can't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
How can I believe?
Right.
And or else I believe. It's an interesting spectrum. One of my favorite Pisces was Michel de Montaigne. They have a statue of him on the Rue de Montaigne. I'm sure I've destroyed that name in Paris. Okay. And he has one of my favorite quotes. He's a Pisces. And so I haven't seen the statue, but I picture him standing there kind of like this. And the quote is, what do I know?
Interesting.
What do I know?
Yeah.
Which is Pisces.
Yeah.
Whatever. What do I know?
Mm-hmm.
It's great beliefs. I mean, it's belief systems. I believe for every drop of rain, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the test of beliefs. I mean, why is the Christian symbol the fish? It's a fisher of men. It all fits. But it is about beliefs.
Right.
Pisces are either work for expiation or they're victims. A lot of victimization in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
If that's mm-hmm. the route. And sometimes it's what pulls them out of it. Ask me about another sign.
How about Virgo?
Virgo. Okay. Virgo is earth, logical. It's mutable. It changes. Virgos like to be of service. They have to have their schedules, their debits and credits columns. Virgos are either tend to be very neat or incredibly disorderly. One or the other. It's not usually somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
They are fastidious. Oftentimes to the point of
making you want to tear your hair out.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they can be either helpful or highly critical. And if they're lower form Virgo, they're looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
You've got dirty toes or whatever
mm-hmm.
it might be.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But the higher form of service.
Yeah. So my little sister was born on the cusp between Pisces and Aries. She was born on the 21st of March.
Well, that's why I wish everybody knew their birth time. I usually ask a person their birth time, and they go, I was born first thing in the morning. Invariably, they weren't.
Margie said about 4.
She thought
it was about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, then with that date and at that time,
mm-hmm.
you'd put it in a computer
mm-hmm.
Along with the longitude and latitude,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to tell you what you are. I used to think I was a Leo rising till I got the exact time because I was born in Fort Hood. So I had to finally get that proper
right.
longitude and latitude because they don't put them in books when it's a fort. So I guess they think you're going to bomb it. Whatever. Longitude and latitude. Let's take it out.
Yeah.
No. So I used to think I was a Leo rising, but when I put the time in, turned out I was 29:59 Cancer rising. So because 5 more minutes, I would have been a Leo rising.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell a lot about a person just knowing the planets, but if you have that time,
yep.
boom.
Yep.
It's like the Vegas roll there.
So I'm really interested about you being on The View and Dr. Phil and John Edward.
The View was fortunate and how I got to John Edward. I moved to New York City because I told you the gig with the guy on Saturday Night mm-hmm. Live. And then I got lots of other kind of work. So one night I'm coming home from, I think I was working at Saks Fifth Avenue, selling something in the basement. And
what we do.
To
stay alive.
I know. Well, yes. I'm paying for a Soho apartment and a child in high
yes.
school. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm coming home on the subway and I get out and I hear a busker, the music guy's down there. And the song is, and what's he playing it on? Oh, some kind of, I can't remember the instrument right now. But he was playing tenderly. Da 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 da. So I go, oh my God, where's that music coming from?
Yeah, yeah.
I go, I'm walking down to the end of the platform. This has been a stinky day. I'm gonna give that guy a buck. I'm walking down there, I'm gonna give him a buck. So I walk down the end of the platform. He's on the other side of the thing. Oh well, there's an exit. Let me go out this exit, which I never took that exit.
Right.
Took that exit, I'm on Bleecker Street. I'm going down Bleecker Street and I look in the meat store, Ottomanelli and Sons. Was it Otto Minelli? I think it was Otto Minelli and Sons. I go, that's Whoopi. When I lived in San Diego, Whoopi and I worked at the same restaurant, same theater. And when she came and did her show at the Old Globe, I took the job of lady in waiting, which was just a separator from the other people on the stage, essentially. Yeah. So I see her in the meat market. And I go, hey, she goes, we're playing poker on Wednesday. You want to come? Okay. So for 3 years, I played poker. I lived in Soho, and so did Whoopi, two streets away. So for 3 years, I played poker with fabulous people.
Yeah.
And came out even after 3 years. I kept
good.
That's all I was even.
That's funny. You kept track.
Oh, yeah. I'm a moon in Virgo.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I kept track to all kinds of fabulous contacts. And one of the people who came there, because she'd gone on a show, John Edward. Amazing, the most amazing psychic in its way. And we did a game. It was poker we played mostly, but we did the forehead game, you know, where you put the card on your head and you say if it's high or low. I don't know if you know this game. So you pull the card out, and I picked, I can't remember if I picked low or high. I think it went low. And I said low. So I had the two. John said, Edward said high. He had the ace. And I didn't even know Whoopi had introduced me as her astrologer, but for whatever reason, that was it. We were connected from the high-low game.
Yeah.
And so he started doing a show, and I would become a regular contributor. And then he would go on something like The View, and he'd call me up and say, you want to go on The View? Oh, yeah, sure. And Whoopi was on The View, but I didn't read for Whoopi. I read for, what's her name? Elizabeth. I got it right, though. I told her which sex the child would be, you know, going out on a limb there. It's a one out of two choice. I got it.
50-50.
50-50. And so that's how that started. I mean, I never intended to be an astrologer. Never intended.
Well, it would be an interesting intention. I mean, I'm not really sure how you would get to that as an intention.
People get to all kinds of intentions.
Okay.
I got to other intentions that didn't pan out. Or still panning out, or however it goes. You know, it just wound up being, you know how it is if you gather a certain amount of knowledge about anything, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's knowledge that I have that I pass around to people I know. And then it just wound up continuing from there.
I think that's wonderful.
I like to be of service, as I said. I have a moon in Virgo. So I don't always, but because of that and partially my nature, if I can, I will help. And astrology is the tool to help, I think.
So I have heard via the grapevine, the grapevine's name is Lori, that you are also a writer.
Yes, I am.
Tell me about that.
Well, I write screenplays. And when I was on Dr. Phil's show with John, there was one of their producers was there. They had done some episode on a woman who had died in an LA house. And they wanted that. John never comes to specifics. He's never asked to. He just goes to whoever. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, they said, you know, if you could speak to that producer, that'd be great. That'd be great. So I happened to be sitting next to her in the audience watching it this time. So John and Ashar Margolis was the other psychic with him at that time, comes, says to this woman, he goes, who's Paul? Starts in right away with that. Who's Paul? Who's Paul? And she's like, I don't know, no Paul. I don't know. And she goes, no, there's a Paul. There's a Paul. Mm-hmm. Finally, I had to say, John, I think that might be me. He goes, do you know Paul? I go, my father's Paul. My sister's Paul. I mean, no, my father's Paul. My brother's Paul. My cousin's Paul. Okay. He goes, yes, it's, and he goes, and it's a, however he talks, he goes, it's above you, which means your father, I go.
Right.
Oh, my father. Okay. So.
This is the father who.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, so, okay. Who, dumped you in Oklahoma.
Of who I had nothing to do with the death. Right. But he's coming through. Okay.
Right.
So, and so Mike, he goes, well, do you have a question? I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. And he goes, so then he goes, the message is. Your success will come through what you write. I'm like going, wait a second. that illiterate came through with that.
Interesting.
He was illiterate.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. Then Char Margolis goes, yep, that's it. What you write. So, Candace Michelle, I'm on the precipice. I've written four screenplays, some shorter ones. And I got my buddy in Southern California who's working hard on it and going to start shoot the opening of one of them within the month.
Wow.
And fully expect to sell both of them that are set in the desert. And you must come to the premiere, darling. I absolutely insist.
Okay, but do I have to, like, put a dress on? Because, God, I hate to dress up.
Yes. No. No, but you do have to wear those shoes.
Oh, yes. I do have
those
shoes.
Yes, you do have to wear your shoes.
I love that.
But other than, no, you just come. That's it.
So can you tell me anything about your screenplays?
Sure. They're both set in the, I started writing them. The first one I wrote, and it's the first one I did write, is called Baby Doe. Mm-hmm. And it was based on an article that I saw in LA Times about this cop who would always go to the funerals of the kids that were killed or tossed away or whatever.
Wow.
That nobody claimed or whatever. And he would go. And so there was a reporter there asking him, you know, why do you do it? He goes, you know, every once in a while you think somebody might show or there'd be something or other. So that's often how I think people write anything. So there was my germ of an idea.
Right.
And I was going to write a story about child abuse, essentially, in a way, but it was going to be told through a detective and a whole lot of other people. So what I did was get bang for the buck, if I do say so myself. It's a very involved plot.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, 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 boom. But not a lot of sets, not a lot of stuff. And it's essentially a vengeance story. Mm-hmm. I write good vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that one. The other one's called The 111, also set in the desert. And it's the story, it's a rich kid, poor kid story. So we've got the rich kid who is flying in on the jet, right? And his the driver and the other bungler are going to kidnap him along with the rich guy's fiance. And then you got the Mexican American family, the gardeners in the truck, and it's worlds collide. So rich kid, poor kid. It's Home Alone in the desert.
Is it? So is it comedy?
It's high comedy.
Okay.
It is funny.
Yeah.
It is a series of events. It's shtick. It's all of the above. It really is very funny. If I do say so myself, and I did say.
So are any of your screenplays, would they be adaptable to the stage?
No.
Okay.
No, it turns out, you know, I wish I wrote an astrology book that wasn't really that great. It's interesting. I don't, you know, you it's either your medium or it isn't. Mm-hmm. I didn't enjoy doing it. I've been asked to write for different publications, right, on a regular thing. Don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those brats that can't do what I don't enjoy.
Right.
Then I thought, well, theater, and I go, and I'm cool with that, but I've never come up with the story hasn't come to me, but I do see, and maybe it's because when I do think of scripts, I'm not bound by thinking it has to be on a stage. How are we going to get the bed into the scene?
Right,
is this going to be on a turntable? I've done that all my life, moving, grooving, everything.
Right.
So with a screenplay, although I did limit myself with those first two I've written to where it's not going to be expensive, I did not limit myself in terms of plot-wise or what could happen or where you go. So it's one of those things, hard to describe. Can't wait till you see it.
Yeah.
Can't wait till it's done.
No, that's great.
Yeah, thank you.
So which one is it? Is it Baby Doe that's in the process right now?
They both are, but it looks like Baby Doe might be the first to go because it's easier to do somewhat. And that's a beautiful story because a young man that I directed back in the desert, which is now going on 8 years ago that I left there, he's grown up. He's always still loved it. He was so talented and incredibly difficult to make do it exactly how you want to do things.
Absolutely.
But he learned technique, right? You learn, I mean, theater makes you learn the rules and how you do it.
Yeah.
So now I'm working with him, and he's going to raise us some bucks.
That's great.
Yeah. So
that's excellent.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So you're not living in the desert any longer, right?
Too much sun for this Irish face. Mm,
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Too much sun. I live in Vancouver, Washington.
Okay.
Across from Portland, because mm-hmm. I became a grandmother. Aww. And I go, I'm not missing it.
Yeah.
So now I have two granddaughters. And
oh, wow. How old are they?
One's about to be 4 and one is about to be 6 months.
Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. Yeah, it's delicious.
Just a baby.
Just delicious.
Yeah. And your daughter lives close to you?
Well, she lives in Portland.
Oh, great. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, okay. She lives there with her kids.
With her kids? Yeah, you're kidding me. She lives with her kids.
She's keeping them.
But how amazing to have a little baby, you know? They're just such incredible creatures.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. Yep. And my daughter's the best mother. And
excellent.
It's marvelous to see. I'm very fortunate. And all is well in the world. Yep.
Joanne, we're just about out of time.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable as it may seem.
Flew by, Candace.
It always does for me. It's like I look at the clock and I go, oh my God.
You like this stuff, obviously.
I do.
Well, that's why.
I enjoy it.
Work with love and love your work.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So do you have anything, any last thoughts if people wanted to get in touch with you?
Oh, yes, they may. Joanne Reeves. Reeves, like all superheroes.
Spell it.
Reeves.
Of course. Superhero.
Except for I'm a girl, and so yes. I'll survive. It's those boys that didn't make it.
Yeah.
And that's Joann. Mm-hmm. It's Joanne Reeves at the old people address, AOL.com. I have no shame in my game. I've
that's
had it
all
since
right.
the, had it since the whenever.
Do you have a Facebook page or anything?
No, just
no.
email
okay.
me. Joanne Reeves at AOL.com. Put something about astrology, heard you in the thing, and that's it.
So I had a thought, which I'm, you know, always trying to find material for our station here.
Uh-huh.
Would you consider doing little bites that we could put on the air? Like,
¿qué es la palabra para bites en español, Lori? We learned that word today. Bites. Yes, I'll be happy to do bites.
That would be great.
You betcha.
Like maybe current events and what the alignment means.
What's happening now? And, the church of what's happening now. You got it.
Because there is just a wealth.
Oh, lots of stuff.
Wealth.
It ad nauseum.
Well, I think it's really, really interesting, though.
Isn't it fascinating?
It really is.
And, you know, you could spend 1 hour on our commander-in-chief and his chart. You know, I don't want to.
Oh, I don't either. But thanks for the offer.
No. Or you know, anybody.
Yes.
On anybody. On Lori, on Tom, on you, anybody.
Yeah.
Everyone is infinitely fascinating. It really is true. I don't find anyone boring.
I love
in their charts, because it's just a tale.
Yeah.
It's your own autobiography, and it's like you've opened up someone's book.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
I do too.
Well, thank you, Joanne, for coming
welcome,
on the show.
Candace.
It's been an absolute delight.
My
I mean,
pleasure.
It really has been
I'm glad
an
you
absolute
it.
Delight.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. And thank you for listening. This is Candace Michelle for Our Community. My guest today has been Joanne Reeves, a longtime intuitive astrologer. Thanks for joining us. If you missed it, you can listen to the podcast on our website at kciw.org. And while you're there, consider becoming a member and getting involved. We're your community radio station, volunteer-run and funded. See you next time.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.